Chapter 25. The Unknown. The double doors boomed shut behind them. Athena pointed down the stairs. "Please be seated at the front." The auditorium reminded Trace of an old-school briefing room from his military days. Two rows of metal-backed seats sloped down to a platform where a rickety tripod projector screen displayed members of the Ash Angel leadership who had conferenced in. Strands of power cords and network cables ran along the whitewashed cinder block walls, feeding a bank of computers and a portable projector at the front. Only one of the hanging fluorescent lights worked. The room was half full, and Trace recognized a few of the faces from his earlier briefing after rescuing Priscilla. Trace picked his way down the concrete stairs behind Cassandra. Three of the Archai, Arcus Magdalene of the Gabriels, Arcus Mars of the Michaels, and Arcus Ebenezer of the Scholis, occupied the front row, Arcus Ramus and the heads of Southwest Operations joining them. The rest of the Archai gazed into the room from the confines of their little squares on the projector screen. Two empty chairs waited at the front on either side of the aisle. Trace took the one to the right, Cassandra the left, metal hinges screaming in protest at being called into duty. A tech came over and clipped microphones to their shirts, Trace feeling a little underdressed in clothing shredded by bullets and reeking of exhaust and oil. "We begin the second session today with testimony from Trace and Cassandra," Arcus Magdalene began. "For the record, Trace is still in training under the direction of Archon Ramus, though he is serving in an active duty position with his trainer Cassandra. This special arrangement was put in force after Trace failed to perform to Archon Ramus's satisfaction during his active mission evaluation."
"And Archon Ramus was the only dissatisfied one," Arcus Mars interjected. "This is hardly the time, Mars," Ramus said wearily. "Maybe if you spent more time evaluating your troops rather than my trainees, Trevex would still be in one piece." "Gentlemen," Grand Arcus Gideon interrupted from his little square on the screen, "you are not the reason for this session. Let us proceed without any further tangents or distractions." "Continue, Arcus Magdalene."
"Yes. First, Cassandra, where were you and Trace when you learned that Trevex had been hit?" "We were attending Trace's first ascendancy party at a local eatery. Lear, his Ash Angel father, arranged it."
Arcus Magdalene had Cassandra retell what she could of the dread encounter on the bus, and then turned to Trace.
"Trace, everyone in this room knows bits and pieces of what happened to you starting about 48 hours ago. But because of some of the extraordinary circumstances and claims related to the events, we would like you to start at the moment you entered the Hammer Bar and Grill and describe everything in the best detail that you can. The floor is yours. We may stop to ask you questions. We've got a little whiteboard set up so you can loosely sketch the important locations and detail what happened inside. The digital map of the main areas of engagement is also available for your narration. So, as you approach the Hammer Bar and Grill, what did you see?"
Trace retold the story in full, his absorbed audience hardly moving. Reactions ranged from shock to outright skepticism. He tried to fudge defending Dahlia from the harassment of her fellow dreads, but Cassandra wouldn't let it go, eager to share the joke. When he came to the part where Dahlia gave them time to escape, the whole proceeding ground to a halt.
"Trace, that makes no sense, son," Arcus Mars commented. "You know I'm on your side, but those animals don't give Ash Angels a chance. Their hatred for us is almost instinctual." "I concur," Ramus added. "While I won't go as far as to say that this little detail is fiction, it is certainly some gross misperception during the heat of the moment. Most likely she was setting them up."
"You're both wrong," Arcus Simeon of the Sanctus objected. The man who looked like Santa Claus had largely sat on the sidelines, but now he sparked to life. "All you Michaels and Gabriel see when a red aura comes into view is some animal waiting for a bullet. You forget that these people were as human as you and I. Yes, in life they committed some atrocity, but they are still capable of finer feelings. After an evening of manhandling, Trace's unexpected gesture may have triggered something in the Dahlia woman that, as we can see, was a blessing that helped Trace and Dolorim escape. Divine Providence guided Trace to act in a way that would touch her heart.
No, Simeon, Mars said, voice hard. You should know better. Remember the Sanctus's stupid dread recovery program? After 100 attempts, you managed to get 3 dreads to turn while losing, what, 6 Ash Angels on capturing the others? You can't tell a wolf not to hunt. She was up to something.
That makes no sense, Mars, Simeon countered. Her actions directly led to the recovery of the hard drive. Where's the setup?
Gentlemen, Grand Arcus Gideon intervened. We need to accept that we are treading through an unprecedented area here. What the Dread Woman's motives were for acting as she did are not particularly relevant right now. I trust that Trace is being forthcoming, and we will have secondary confirmation from Talisman, or Dolorim, as he calls himself now. Please proceed with the narrative, Trace.
The interwoven discussion and examination dragged on for 2 hours. While no one said it, the word liar hung around Trace's neck. Even the supportive Simeon had no idea of what to make of the auraless dread and the device Trace claimed could control dreads. Trace had barely let drop the last word of his account when Arcus Ebenezer jumped in.
I would submit to my fellow members of the Seven that we be careful what credit we give to these stories. A dread blank, a mysterious object he can use to control them, a dread woman who lets Ash Angels run free. These are wild assertions, and we need to consider that their source is a man under the influence of a woman who some believe may be a conspirator in these recent setbacks. It is much easier to believe we have a traitor among us than to think that there is some magical item from some magical dread that suddenly has the power to unite evil creatures and bring destruction upon us. I am well versed in Ash Angel lore, and this tale is as wild as the persistent belief that there are dread lore masters running about. We've got to quit ignoring the Cassandra issue.
Cassandra shot from her seat, turning her back to the screen, eyes on the exit. Trace was about to follow. He wasn't going to stand for her getting smeared by Ebenezer or anyone else. It wasn't fair. Arcus Magdalene surged up from her seat and grabbed Cassandra's arm and pulled her back. Again, with the ridiculous Cassandra theory. This is quite simple to solve, Arcus Ebenezer. We know that if an Ash Angel turns, she loses her divine gifts.
Ah, Ebenezer countered. But many of our gifts are matched by dreads.
But not glorious presence, Arcus Magdalene stated. Correct, Ebenezer?
Well, yes.
Cassandra, Arcus Magdalene invited. Steely-eyed, Cassandra crossed to Arcus Ebenezer's seat. Placing both hands on the armrests, she got in his face and pinned his eyes to hers. Divine light pulsed away from her in a rapturous wave, silence following in its wake. She extinguished the light, holding Ebenezer's gaze a few moments more before jogging up the stairs. Only the whine of the projector fan accompanied her exit. Trace felt a pang of loss. For 24 hours he had known a Cassandra who could smile, who could laugh, who could care. When they let him find her after the meeting, that Cassandra would be gone again.
Proof enough, Ebenezer? Arcus Magdalene asked, voice a shard of ice.
Yes, he replied quietly.
Good.
She sat down hard.
But Trace cannot be above suspicion, Ebenezer said. He has the gift of strength, one the dreads share. We cannot be sure he hasn't turned.
Diarchus Joan popped in.
Arcus Ebenezer, you are letting paranoia get the better of your reasoning. Trace was awakened after the Blank Massacre. He has slaughtered more dreads in the last few weeks than most Michaels in a year. For pity's sake, he got the hard drive back. I'd be more willing to believe that you were a conspirator than entertain the notion that he was. If you're still not satisfied, we can take his heart and wait for rapture in the morning.
The double doors to the room opened, Athena ushering in an unfamiliar Ash Angel, a woman morphed young with butched hair. The new Ash Angel descended the stairs, handed a tablet computer to Arcus Magdalene, and left without a word.
Some good news, Magdalene said, scanning the screen. The preliminary tests from our tech group indicate that the drive has not been tampered with or decrypted. They say that the, hardware bus that had been rather crudely removed to extract the drive had not been replaced or any of the data chips unseated. We will send it to Deep 7 to do a more thorough test. The weaponry trace and Dolorum found in the SUV has just arrived at Zion Alpha, and they have nothing to report other than it is definitely not ours. The vehicle will take more time to break down, but we hope for answers within a couple of days.
That is very good news, Grand Arcus Gideon said, leaning back and putting his hands behind his head. We have a lot of work to do, people. We will rebuild Trevex, but Deep Six will need to be the new home of the training arm of the Skolas for the time being. Other functions will be moved elsewhere. Trace, we express our gratitude for your service. We would like Cassandra's team to stand down for a week and enjoy a break from their recent efforts. The rest of you are dismissed until 3 this afternoon. Let's see if we can get an update on the items Arcus Magdalene gave us and speak with Dolorum. Meeting adjourned.
Trace let everyone file out before him, not anxious to get back to his supersized stack of report forms. When he emerged into the anteroom, he found that Arcus Magdalene, Corinth, and Goldbow had cornered Cassandra, her face a stone. Magdalene had wrapped her arms around her friend's shoulders, her words so low and soft Trace couldn't make out what the Arcus was saying. Cassandra's clipboard was on the floor, the papers scattered about the room as if ejected from a whirlwind. Dolorum, still morphed like a geek, stood apart, and Trace caught his eye. Dolorum glanced at Cassandra and frowned. Trace wondered what he could say to his trainer. Clearly, Goldbow's betrayal was not the only thing rotting in Cassandra's heart. He joined the circle around her. She smoothed the emotion off her face, but vulnerability clung to her like an evil spirit. He didn't like that look on her. After Magdalene released her, Trace hugged his trainer, and she returned it awkwardly. When he let her go, the hint of a smile bloomed on her face, but only a hint.
Don't you quit on me, Cassandra, he said. I still can't morph worth a turd, and I do tons of stupid stuff, including wearing brown suits. So I need you to stick with this until you're sure I'm not going to get myself killed.
That could be forever, Jawhead.
Whatever it takes.
He smiled, squeezing her arm.
Whatever it takes. I like a good puzzle, so I'll get your forms together. I'll be damned if I'm going to sit down here and fill out my enormous stack all by myself.
Dolorum joined him as he scoured the floor of papers while Cassandra's friends consoled her. What more could he do? When Goldbow put his hand consolingly on her arm, Trace winced. But when she didn't snap it in half or pull it away, Trace smiled. If Arcus Magdalene was right, Goldbow was the key to healing Cassandra. If she could trust him again. Maybe this rally of support in the bowels of Deep Six was the beginning of a new dawn for his trainer. Arcus Magdalene was the last to leave Cassandra's side, the platform taking the Arcus up and out of view. Trace snapped Cassandra's forms beneath the clip and handed them to her with a wry smile.
Gee, thanks, Jawhead, she said. So what are you doing with your week off?
Not sure. Can I hitch a ride back with you to Phoenix?
Well, she answered, looking away. Can you find another way back? I've agreed to talk things out with, Goldbow. I can't keep this inside anymore, and he needs to hear it.
Yeah, of course. That's totally cool. Trace wouldn't trade places with Goldbow even if the Michael offered to fill out all his forms for a year.
I'll take him back, Dolorum offered, though Trace thought Dolorum had ridden over with Corinth. I've got to show him what it means to be a real Ash Angel and not some tool of the industrial military complex.
Cassandra shifted her weight and put her free hand on her hip.
Fishing for converts to the old masters, Dolorum?
We don't have forms, he offered. You might like it.
She regarded her stack.
You've got a point.
I also need cheap labor to help me repair the Redemption Motorcycle Club, he admitted. You up for a little volunteer service work, Trace?
Why not?
Sounds like a nice change of pace.
Dolorum slapped him on the back. Good. Now, run along and fill out some forms for the man. I've got to scare up some transportation for us when they're done with me. Whenever that is.